Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. Of course, it is 94 WIP, and it is the month of January, which means the NFL playoffs are about to start soon. And for the, I think, a seventh time in 8 years, the Eagles have made the postseason, which is really tremendous. Four in a row, other than 2020, three in a row prior to that, 17, 18, 19. So it's been a lot of fun the last decade or so. And, of course, we always love the chance to chronicle it with one of the great Eagles players of all time in here on a snowy Monday morning, Mr. Seth Joyner. Seth, happy New Year to you. How are you, pal?
Happy New Year, guys. Hey, James, do you listen to jazz, man?
So, not like consistently, but I do like jazz, yes.
Okay, today is a jazz kind of day, man.
Ooh.
That Helter Skelter right off the top, I know it's...
Too much?
I know it's Victory Monday, but today is definitely a jazz type of day.
How about this, Seth?
Blue and green.
You pick the song.
What do you want me to come back with next break?
Give me a song. No curses.
Well, yeah, jazz, man.
I'm joking. It's a joke. Come on.
You never know with you.
Listen, where'd you go? Texas El Paso?
Yeah,
the UTEP guy got that. The Temple guy had it correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which song you want next time, Seth?
Jeez. Hey, listen, man, I listen to smooth jazz. It's not like I know the songs. I just put it on a station and let it roll.
And it's just smooth.
Let's play some jazz coming back.
All right, well, Seltzer will figure it out.
Blue and green would be great. And it applies here.
You know that song?
Blue and green, yeah. Okay. I mean, just in time for the playoffs, we're in green.
See, man, feeling this blue. Yeah, and this is the type of day, man, where, you know, you're just going to take it easy. You want to be sitting by a window somewhere where you can look at the snow.
Yeah.
With something hot to sip on with your feet kicked up.
Well, I can't wait, Seth. I got my Snow Joe all charged up, and I'll be going doing the neighbor's pavements. I'm super excited. You don't understand. I can't wait to get home.
Rhea, I don't want to be out in it. I just want to look at it.
Yeah.
It is nice. It is. All right, so, Seth, let's get to the playoffs here. We'll touch on yesterday's game, but how do you feel about, from an Eagles standpoint, the coming NFL postseason?
I think we should feel good. You know, even though I didn't agree with it, you know, now, you know, it is what it is, and the team's rested.
Yep.
You know, there should be no excuse when they come out Sunday at 4:30. They should be free, breathing, you know, fire like dragons, you know, fully rested, 100%, you know, no excuses. And you're playing against a team that you've already beaten once, a team that's a little beat up, and you're playing them on your home field. So I expect for them to come out and, you know, live up to the billing 100%.
Without knowing how bad the Jordan Love thing is, I mean, I think we assume Christian Watson's not playing, but without knowing how bad the Jordan Love thing is, so there's a little bit of just taking a guess here, I suppose, but would you rather the Eagles against Green Bay or Washington?
Well, the player in me says I don't care. I'm happy to be in the tournament. I'm happy to be the number two seed. you know, the short amount of time that Daniels played yesterday, he did not look very good. You know, Mariota came in and actually saved the game for them.
And that's saying something.
that's saying a lot.
Shocking.
Well, how good is Green Bay? Let's just say Jordan Love was actually truly healthy. How good are they?
Well, listen, he's got weapons all over the place. You know, most teams, they run the ball effectively against. I don't know that game one of the season, I don't know Josh Jacobs does not, you know, he looks more like a battering ram now than he probably did then. And you know Matt LaFleur likes to run the football. You know, now that would be a challenge to our defense. What would also be a challenge to our defense is the fact that they've got four wide receivers that none of them are classified as receiver one. And he spreads the ball around. So he makes it very difficult for you to hone in on one guy to stop. You know, defensively, I think defensively, that's been their the thorn in their side for many, many years. You know, it's no secret that they want to make sure they got a elite-level quarterback. They're going to have wide receivers, but they kind of skimp on the defensive side of the ball, and they've never really been, you know, a dominant defense. And I think that's hurt them. So, you know, obviously advantage, you know, Philadelphia Eagles in a massive way.
Who is our defensive MVP of this year? If you had to choose between Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean, who really half a year, two-thirds of a year, Zach Bond, who would you pick?
I think Zach Bond. You know, it's funny because I ran across a Joe Banner was on some podcast somewhere, and it caught my eye because they were talking about Zach Bond. And the person hosting it asked Joe of the importance of re-signing Zach Bond. And, you know, he said, oh, the numbers got to be right, but if not, you know, you move on, you can always find another.
You can?
I'm just, listen, John. Don't shoot Seth. The messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
You guys know. I think there's a great chance he's not back. I've told you guys.
Listen,
that.
Let me tell you something. These people like Joe, and I respect what he's done as a GM.
Yep.
Okay. But this mentality that you know that the Eagles carries about their linebackers are so wrong. Like if you're back in my day and you're playing a 3-4 or 4-3, you know, yeah, you can interchange those parts. But in today's NFL, you're playing a 4-2 front 75% of the time. That means you got four down linemen and two linebackers. Two linebackers maximum. Okay? And if you're in a heavy dime set, that means you only got one linebacker on the field. So in order for you to be very good against the run without weakening yourself on the back end by playing single high, your linebackers have to be hellraisers. They got to fill gaps. They got to beat people to the punch. They got to run through where there's opportunities to run through. And we've seen, you know, the negativity of trying to convert safeties to linebackers and special teams linebackers into starting linebackers because we didn't want to spend the draft capital. You know, they drafted N'Kobe Dean 3. But tell me the last time, I'll tell you the last time they drafted a linebacker high, Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, second round.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that has hurt the Eagles defense over a myriad of years because even in 17 when they were making their Super Bowl run, they sucked trying to stop the run.
Well, and but Braddon was good that year. That was his one really good year.
You know what? It all depends on, Joe, what you call good. My standards.
I just came in the crosshairs. I saw the look in his eyes, Seltzer. No. He gave me that look.
Because the standard, my standard for a linebacker is much greater than the average person's standard for a linebacker. Because if a linebacker has, you know, 100-plus tackles, the NFL wants to make a big deal about that. But understand, the linebackers, I think it was like in week 8, I saw a clip of Zach Bond. And it's nothing negative against him, but I chuckled. I think at that point in the season, you know, disregarding the tackles in the comparison of my career, he had 88 tackles. I think he had 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 recovered fumbles, 1 interception. And I chuckled because I was talking to my wife about it. And I laughed. She was like, what are you laughing about? I said, he did that in 8 games. I said, do you know I played 1 game and had all those same stats in one
no.
game?
No, in one?
The Houston game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
House of Pain.
So my standard for linebacker play is much higher. You know, and I'm not saying that he didn't have a great year. He's had a great year. But the standard in the NFL of how they look
isn't
at
it.
My point is, the Eagles' defense has suffered many years because they don't have viable linebackers. When you look at the really good defenses in the National Football League, they got good linebackers.
Well,
last point, Joe.
Yeah.
Last year, the Eagles spent $6.5 million on the entire linebacking position. That is absurd. The entire position.
Off-ball, inside linebacker position. Like the...
Yeah, not the Hassan Reddick type.
Inside back.
The entire inside linebacking core.
Sure.
You probably got 5 to 6 of those guys in the linebacker room. They spent $6 million on the whole room.
Look, here's what I'll say. I'm more aligned with Banner than is going to make you happy. I'm not saying what they should do. I don't know yet. Of course I want Zach Bond back. I'm telling you, if he gets offered $50 million, he could be gone.
He should be.
Well, I don't. There's no history that the Eagles are going to give a linebacker like that 3 years and $50 million.
What have people been saying since week 10? Well, sign this guy. Get this guy locked up.
And they haven't.
Well, now that he's a Pro Bowl linebacker, the price has just gone up probably double.
What do you expect that he'll fetch on the open market?
Does that sound about right? 3 and 50?
Well, most teams, John, most teams are not going to pay him Roquan Smith-type money out the gate, because what Roquan did is he showed the NFL that he could do this again and again.
Sure.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So Zach Bond is probably going to have to sign a 3-year deal. I would be pushing for 2 like crazy, because what I want to do is reestablish myself and show you that I can do it 2 more years so that now I can be one of the highest paid linebackers in the league. But they're going to sign him to a minimum, and no one's going to sign him to no less than a 3-year deal, okay? And it's not going to be off the rails, off the charts, because they want him to prove it again.
But I don't agree with that. I don't. If he finishes in the top 5 of defensive MVP, he's probably going to get $50 million. So buckle up or you lose him. I'm just telling you.
Listen.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former 3-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I didn't know, Joe? Somebody sent me, you know, a clip a couple of weeks ago that I got 1 first place vote in the league MVP.
In
91.
That's a shame.
And I came in.
Steve Young?
I think I came in like fourth or fifth. You know, so it's not that out of the realm of the possibility that he may get a vote.
Right.
You know, but the number's going to go up.
Is it a bad sign that he doesn't have the green dot? This is something that I wondered about. I just listening to Vic Fangio talk. He talked a lot about how N'Kobe's the guy wearing the green dot, not Zach Bond. Does that affect if he had the green dot, would it be better for negotiations for him with the Eagles? Does that matter?
No, because the game that N'Kobe was out, he had the green dot. And he tried to play coy during the week, trying not to give anything away. Oh, you know, well, just in case, you know, we may be in a lot more dime. Fool, you knew good and well that N'Kobe wasn't playing. That's why they put you in the green dot. When he went down in the game before, they put the green dot on you. But that doesn't affect it. You know, normally the Mike linebacker is the signal caller. And when you go to dime, or you go to nickel and there's only one, you know, big nickel and there's only one linebacker on the field.
Mike's not in there.
Mike's not in, then, you know, the Will becomes the signal caller. I mean, I did it. Mm-hmm. Like when Byron was on the field, he always called the defense. When he went out in dime situations, I made all the third down calls.
Well, all right, let's get some calls in here. Seth Joyner with us this entire hour on a snowy day here on a Monday morning. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Drew right now in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, folks. Happy playoffs week. Time to lock in. One takeaway from yesterday, and then I'll just get to the Packers. You know, I know it was a Giants team that stinks, but I thought it was really good just to see Dallas Goedert looking healthy. You know, we talk about like Jalen being just like a force multiplier in the run game, but I think sometimes it can be easy to overlook like how good of a, you know, blocker Goedert is, and you know what he adds to that. So I'm just, you know, I don't know what his future looks like in terms of like being an Eagle going forward, but you know, I'm looking for him to have some big playoff moments here, and I
hope
think
so.
Having him healthy is really going to add to it.
Look, we all love Goedert. We do wonder if this is his last year for the financial reasons we were just talking about, and Calcaterra coming on. It's going to be an interesting offseason to find out what happens with Goedert. But obviously, when healthy, he's a very good tight end.
Yeah, hopefully, don't have to think about it for a little bit. But yeah, we just. I know I'm going to get nervous as the week goes on, but like we just look ready to me. And I know people are referencing what the Packers did against Dallas last year, but I think that Packers team was coming in like real hot to that game.
They
were on like a 3-game winning streak. Like they were playing with their hair on fire.
Well, they had been 3-6 and made the playoffs. They had to like fight. I think they went whatever it was, 6-1 to end the season.
Yeah, like this Packers team just doesn't look like they have like the firepower or like the vibes of that team. So I just like they're better than a typical 7-seed, but we just look ready to me, and I can't wait for the rest of the week and for.
I tend to agree. Drew, give me an answer. What makes you feel nostalgic?
I got a good one here. The TV show Full House always takes me back to a simpler time.
It's a good one. You got it, buddy. Drew, appreciate the call. Seth, what did you make of Tanner McKee?
I wasn't surprised by his play. You know, you guys, you know, heard me say this many times. Even you go all the way back to, you know, the first game of the year when I questioned why Tanner McKee was number three behind
Kenny Pickett.
Pickett.
Yep.
You know, so.
You think Tanner McKee is better than Brad Gable? That's a second. What are you answering all my jokes for? I was for the 45-year-olds and up, by the way,
man,
if you're too young for that.
That's a sensitive subject with me, man. Please do not joke with me about that.
Can't imagine why, Seth.
Did he Sherman have 23 straight carries in that game? That's my recollection, that Kotite just kept giving the ball to you. I think he had 37 carries in the game.
Yeah,
that's how afraid Kotite was of anyway, we don't have to get into all that. But give me your thoughts on how he played, because he did play well.
You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think he's the best pure passer of the football on their roster, period. You know, he plays with great timing, great rhythm, great accuracy, very decisive. You know, those are qualities that you very rarely find, you know, in a quarterback. And to be honest with you, when you watch him move, the couple of times they short rolled him yesterday, which was very impressive and makes me wonder why don't you run some of those things with our quarterback one. But you know what he looks like? He looks like Jared Goff throwing the ball to me, man. I mean, 6'6", can just, you know, sling it. I mean, he had a couple of spots where, you know,
misfires.
A couple of balls that he threw that, you know, that could have been intercepted. They were just bad decisions.
Yep.
But for his first NFL start, you kind of expect that. But I think for the most part, he's either going to fit in and last here as, you know, Jalen's backup, And I honestly believe that the Eagles need to go and find someone who possesses some of the skill sets that Jalen possesses so that when he gets hurt and develop him. Now, you're not going to find anybody like him. Like you had in Baltimore, you had Huntley was down there with Lamar for a long time. They need to go and find that guy, Joe, so that you don't have to reimagine the entire playbook for a guy or two guys that don't do what Jalen Hurts is capable of doing.
So you view Tanner McKee more as a piece that you can use for trade purposes than a guy who's realistically going to be a backup for an extended period because his skill set is so vastly different than Jalen's?
Let me tell you what I think. I think that Jeffrey and Howie now know what they have in this kid, and they ain't letting him go anywhere. Because if the jury is ever out on Jalen for them, he is the type of quarterback that they truly desire.
I definitely would not trade Tanner McKee for a third-round pick. I guess I'd have to think about it if it's a second-rounder, but I would not trade him if I'm offered a third-round pick. No way.
If I'm Jeffrey and Howie, I'm not trading him, period. This is why. Do you know he threw the ball 41 times yesterday? 41 times.
He was 14 of 20 in the first half. I knew that.
Well, some of that was likely they wanted to see what he had. Like if it's a game that doesn't count,
of course.
I mean, it's more important to see that than see Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have said that about Shipley because he looked very good too. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
But if you go back to when, they fired Doug, and Jeffrey was very vocal at that time. He said the way that you win in the National Football League is you have to have an elite level quarterback, a passer of the football, and you got to make big plays. They believe at their core that the way that you win is you throw the ball often and early, you get a lead, and then you run the clock out. I don't think that they envision Saquon doing what he did in 2024, and it flipped the entire narrative on his head. Because I ask people all the time that don't like Jalen, would you rather have a quarterback who throws for 350 yards and two touchdowns every week and be 9-8, or would you have the scenario be what it is and be sitting at 14-3? You tell me what you would rather.
Well,
have.
Yeah, but there's a trap door there.
No, it's no trap door.
Sure there is. You're assuming the guy with all those yards and touchdowns loses. That guy might win.
Listen.
Not looking to get into the whole Jalen thing here, but I mean,
But it is what it is right now.
Like, if they had Jared Goff right now, wouldn't be 9-8.
If Grandma had cojones, she'd be Grandpa,
but what
right?
would their record be with Jared Goff?
Nobody knows.
Well, okay. Well, why does the guy that gets in there have to go 9-8?
Because my point is...
My point is with Saquon, AJ, and Devontae, you got a lot of talent out there.
I just don't understand why Grandma got into this.
You know what? I saw that look from Seth for a second time. I'm really in trouble now.
My point is, we know what the Eagles are at 14-3.
Right.
We don't know what the team would be if he threw for 300 yards. Because you still got to make those other, you still got to make those other touchdowns, and if you're throwing the ball at that clip, then you got to keep pace with other teams that's able to put the ball in. When you run the ball the way that they run it, you know. And I want to talk about this as far as Detroit because I'm looking at Detroit last night and it hit me. I had an epiphany about who and what Detroit is and what's necessary to beat them. Now you got to match them. And you want to dominate the game rather than trying to matching somebody else's flow.
Dominate the game meaning you aggress against the most aggressive team that I think I've ever seen. I really think they're the most aggressive team I've ever watched. We're talking like crazy offensively speaking.
I've seen Joe over there, you know, breaking his pencil. So I don't even want to get into it yet. But John. This guy asked me a question about, he said that Detroit is better than we give him credit for. And in the moment of responding, I wrote something so profound that I had to take a screenshot of it.
Wow.
And I'm going to read it.
All right, we're going to get to that next. All right.